Don Watts on the track. Zeus, Don One, Rude Boy, Quill, The Gift, and yours truly, Fred Nuts. I'm one in a million with a $1 million flow. Fred DiBiase got the power in it though. If it's a problem, let me know, or I suggest you let it go. Cause it ain't worth the problems that'll be knocking at your door, homie. Please don't make me hurt you. Disrespect the boss, ain't treat it like Virgil. Cause when I write raps, it's beyond your price tag. He's a waste of man.
And welcome to Around the Blocks with Mike Knox and my partner, my old school buddy. I spelled my name with three X's because, frankly, like that hoe-ass bitch you dated, I am hardcore. You didn't know she was hardcore since she left your ass because you know what you didn't have and she went to somebody else like me, a real OG. But to my left, like I said, he spells his name with two T's. My man from the chair shot himself, Mr. Christopher. What's going on, Chris?
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Mike, it is an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be back, and I'm just happy to be back chopping up with the family again. And I'm right back like I left something, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and ladies.
And as welcome as always, my social media producer to the icon stars and Ayatollahs and rock and rollers and Hall of Famers and then some who wants to be some, my man King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter and the Gram. Find him. Welcome back to the show, he says to you, Chris. And as always, we start the show off with boats and hoes. Boats and hoes.
Hey.
And a lot of things to discuss in the world of professional wrestling. As always, again, my name is Mike Knox. Please, in all due respect, follow me. I am the best in the world at my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And fellas, frankly, if you're not making it get loud, that's not my problem. You see the all around the pictures all on the screen. Just follow us somewhere. Like, follow, and subscribe. As they say, tell a friend to tell a friend. This is the Unpopular Reviews Around the Blocks of Mike Knox. And today, Chris, I'm going to start off now. It's been a while since you've been here. And I always try to do the mundane thing, right? Like, why do I got to do the mundane thing? Like, why do we do things in order? It's like Roman Reigns said, you do the same missionary position every single night. That's why I don't do post shows right after a wrestling show, because everybody does them like missionary position every single night. So I do what I can do better. That's when you heard the rest. You listen to the best. If you don't like it, listen anyway. And today I want to start with the best wrestling show of the week. That was, frankly, without even being a question to me, AEW Dynamite has finally taken center stage in my life. And it's because of one man and one man only, Mr. Chicago Made Punk, the best in the world. But is he? Because I still do think that the head of the table, Roman Reigns, is still the best wrestler in the world. But we're talking about Dynamite. I'm sorry. They pulled me out, but now I'm back in. AEW Dynamite, to me, Chris, was hands down the best wrestling show of the week. Before we get to the matches, your thoughts on Dynamite?
So, number one, first and foremost, I agree with everything you said. Do I think that AEW was the best show this week? I don't, but we'll get to that momentarily. But I was actually privileged enough to be in the house last Friday for AEW Rampage when Mr. Phil Brooks made his triumphant return to wrestling. And Mike, when I tell you, man, as soon as we heard we went ham, melon, farm and cheese burger, like that shit, man. Like, oh my god,
because since then he showed up on Dynamite last Wednesday, so I get you're still on that euphoric, that damn near like a shroom high in professional wrestling right now. We're kind of in a daze. We're not sure, is this shit really happening? Are we finally back to professional wrestling being more than just in the boxes? Friends have said that I have been in when it comes to the WWE type of wrestling. But I definitely want to talk to you about what you think is the best wrestling show of the week and the fact that you were there. We spoke about that, Pop, that I have said personally, and I was not there. I had friends like yourself who were there. They agreed with my opinion of Impact. I said that was the biggest pop I ever heard, ever. Ever, okay? And in person, I can't say I've heard, like, the biggest pop I've heard in person was Brock Lesnar's return, Rock, you know, the first real Raw after Mania in Miami. That was a hell of a pop, but I always heard pops on TV, like Austin coming out and Rock coming out. I had heard nothing like the best in the world CM Punk until that Friday night. But again, you was there. Your thoughts on that monumental moment?
You know, I can't, the pop, I don't know. I'm still thinking, you know, WrestleMania 33 when the Hardys came out. But just in terms of a moment as a wrestling fan, without question, this was the biggest moment that I ever had the honor to be in attendance of live and in living color. Like, I mean, you put the dude up on the screen that was crying. Like, it was other melon farmers there that was crying as well. Like, it was just such a moment. And I got to give Pretty Tony Khan and his people, I got to give them their props because I feel as if they played this absolutely perfectly. We all knew it was going to happen, but we weren't for sure.
As Dice Man would say, it was the greatest rumor that we knew was happening. Wasn't quite sure if Punk showing up would happen. If those don't understand, Dice is a newbound father. He'll return next week or sometime later in this show, but he had some baby duties and father duties to take care of. So my other right-hand man, Chris, has stepped in for the day. But past that moment, we fast-forwarded a week later. We're anticipating, like you said, that Friday number will probably, for Rampage, will never hit that number again, as we saw the number again dwindle a little bit this week. But I'm not a numbers guy, all right? When it comes to money, we're talking professional wrestling, who's still number one? Then I talk numbers. That's where WWE does tower over any and everybody else. But in the eyes of the fans, they're no longer the leading in our hearts of professional wrestling that has become AEW, Dynamite, Rampage, whatever you put AEW attached to, fans want to talk about it. So let's speak about Impact Dynamite from last week. I said it was the best show of the week. Like, and I felt this way. I felt that as a father, I was doing my children an injustice by all of them knowing it's like WWE products. And that wasn't even done on purpose. It was like, okay, here's my kids. This is what I watch. I go to the network. Find your own way. Like, my son is a WWE F historian. He can say things I wouldn't know, like what happened in Madison Square Garden in 1987. He watches the network when it was the real network, not before it got on the cock, right? Because it sucks, the cock. Oh, but the cock actually doesn't suck. Just WWE Network on the cock sucks, right? Mm-hmm. So, because I actually loved, you know, Peacock without WWE on there. But I felt it was an injustice. I said, I need y'all to watch this. I said, I don't care. I know it's Wednesday. You normally watch. I need you to watch. You know, Dynamite, and man, they lost it. Luchasaurus and I had them watch, more importantly to me, because I'm a huge fan of the Lucha Brothers, and I know my son, who's, you know, one of his favorite, I think it's his second favorite, is Rey Mysterio. So I was like, yo, you Christian, you have to watch this, and he loved it. I loved it. Your thoughts on Dynamite last week? Your favorite part of Dynamite?
My favorite part of Dynamite was probably the CM Punk interview with Tony Schiavone. I mean, just keeping it a buck and a half, man. I love the Bryan Danielson tease that he gave to the crowd, and just the love.
Not yet. That guy's coming later.
He's coming. Yeah, just be patient. Be a little more patient. But I love the interview, and I love the crowd's reaction to him. And frankly, I'm a Phil Brooks guy, so it's just exciting to have him back into wrestling, and it's reinvigorated the AEW brand for me, because I started to get a little wary about it. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Elite. I think the Bucks are lame. Uh-huh. Kenny Omega.
I think Kenny Omega's lame. I think Omega's lame.
Seth Rollins is doing his gimmick better than he is.
I've been saying this since we met, you know, personally or informally, meeting, saying, yo, to me, Kenny Omega has something on Seth Rollins. I know people will go the other way, but to me, Seth Rollins, excuse me, is a way better star than Kenny Omega. But I'm with you there, because when I first started watching AEW, of course, I wanted to be good. I need something to be better than what I watch, right? But early on, I couldn't get into AEW. I just could not. They had this bingo hall mentality that, to me, it's a certain attachment to wrestling fans, a la like an ECW kind of fan base. And that fan base only gets you but so far. And when you want to compete, you have to not be that all the time. And I thought they were that. And I thought they were really mimicking WCW for a while. So it wasn't I wasn't enjoying who they had or what they were doing. I didn't like how they were executing what they were doing. But obviously, Punk, for me, got me back. But before that, I had started seeing the trend of the in-ring and the storyline and how much I really still don't like the Dark Order. But now I can see that, with Kevin Sullivan, Faces of Fear kind of group in them, right? And I still like the Bucks. I thought the Bucks were way cool 2 years ago. Now I'm with you. I think they're a little lame. But when your top guys that drew me there are not keeping me there, then I think it's a great organization, and that's what I think it's starting to become, and that's why I thought Dynamite was good. But go ahead, continue.
No, I totally agree with you. They finally figured out exactly what to do with Miro, and then they have the Eddie Kingston reveal, and they come out. Obviously, they're going to have a match. We're going to get to AEW All Out, but, you know, just that. Like, I'm all in on Eddie Kingston. Number one, he could talk his ass off. Number two, he looks... If you ever,
he can talk his ass really? Off, though. I can't stand a guy who looks like me in a wrestling ring. I'm sorry.
If you ever been to New York and you seen the crazy, tough Puerto Rican talking mad shit outside the bodega in the white beater.
That's why he should be in the Urban Wrestling Federation and not AEW. No offense. There's an Urban Wrestling Federation. You know what? Master P owns it, okay? No lie. I reached out to y'all guys. If you're listening, why haven't you picked up the phone and called me yet, okay? What the fuck's your problem? All right, and while I'm saying fuck people, I'm not saying fuck you, Urban Wrestling League. Hey, Dave Meltzer, fuck you, you son of a bitch. Hey, Dave, fuck you. And here's one, what'd you say, Dice? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what? Dice ain't here, but he said, fuck you, Dave Meltzer. So
I can smoke a bag of that, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Nah, but hey, and shout out to King Vaughn as well. Welcome back, Chris. Appreciate you, brother. But yeah, no, it wasn't a bad show this week. I'm still going to work high. Because they brought back the quote unquote best in the world, whatever, whatever. But yeah, no, it was a good show, all tailed. And AEW needed this. They needed a shot in the arm. And now things are starting to get very, very interesting because not only do we have Punk, Moxley's there doing his thing. We've got Bryan Danielson possibly on the horizon. We don't know what's going on with Adam Cole. Bray Wyatt, perhaps, like things are starting to kind of business starting to pick up on the JR Ross side of the game. So, a couple of things I would say,
yes.
Pretty Tony, if this gets back to you, Pretty Tony Khan, number one, the executive VPs, they've got to start to take a step back because they're the least interesting part of this show.
Yeah.
Period. Number two, okay, you want to be Booker? I get that. It's my party. I'm a book if I want to. I understand that. You're living your dream, and I respect it. I really do. You're living your dream. If I had the money, perhaps I'd be doing exactly what you're doing. But perhaps get you a consigliere. You know what I mean? You have access to some of the greatest minds in the history of this business. Like, pick one of them to be your shadow, your consigliere on the Tom Hagen side of the game, if y'all familiar with Godfather. And maybe you can blend the old school with the new school and come up with something cool because you've got a lot of good talent right there. You got an opportunity to really do something. Like, you smell blood in the water. You know that. And I don't know what WWE is doing. It's just giving you all this top-notch talent. Just let it go and keep it moving like an escalator. Whatever, whatever. But you really have an opportunity to really make a dent in this thing right now. So perhaps you need to align yourself with some people that historically know how this shit's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Well, listen, in my opinion, I think they're finally, like I said, turning the page. It's just not the CM Punk thing. I do think, and I will always say this, right? You do have to have big stars. And what I've loved about this most, you mentioned the interview, is the fact of Punk coming back. The interview was really dope, right? It was the whole, do I still got it? Am I still the best in the world? Can I claim that I am this guy, right? Against these younger guys, this dangerous, this reckless Darby Allin. Can I be this after 7 years, right? We've seen him in the MMA octagon. He got his ass whooped. We made fun of all of a sudden he developed a cauliflower ear because he's getting them headlocks put on his ass, like, you know, maybe AJ Lee's vice grips. Okay, I'm sorry. But you get what I'm saying here, right? It's what he's supposed to do. He's back. It's better than ever, in my opinion. And I'm glad that wrestling has now finally piqued my interest again because, yes, I'm a WWE guy, right? But I've said for 2 years now that once Kofi happened at SmackDown, my love was completely gone from the company, that they had broke my heart because at some point, it's only with so much I can fucking give you before I got to step away, but you're not giving me back the same thing. I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. I'm going to continue to say it every single week on this show. Kids are still loving WWE products, but their parents are taking them there. So if you don't give us something to fucking cheer for, Vince, I'm going to start bringing my kids by, okay? And it's that simple. And Dynamite right now is hot. It's heavy. I'm excited for it. But real fast, so Dynamite, my favorite part also was the interview, right? Especially the part when he mimics, or not mimics, but pretty much confirmed what we all thought anyway about Daniel Bryan, right? And then put the tag team match between the Lucha Brothers
Luchasaurus.
But it wasn't him because that's the upcoming. But it was the Varsity Blondes versus the Lucha Brothers.
Thank you.
You know, with Ray, it was just amazing of a match. I loved it. I'm loving Red Velvet. And I don't even think she's that cute. I think her skin color is amazing, right?
Really?
But her name is just really attractive to me for some other reason.
Yeah, as is she. Until I realized she was banging one of them Briscoe dudes, and that's kind of weird.
Like the Ring of Honor Briscoe dudes?
The Ring of Honor Briscoe dudes. She married to one of them melon farmers, man, which is kind of weird.
Well, so, hey, listen, that's family on this show right here. So now DJ, Scotty, all you guys that know them guys, them boys, we got to get her on the show now. Yeah. All right? We got to get her on the show. Malachi Black destroys Arn Anderson's son. Why Arn Anderson's son has a job? Easy, because he's Arn Anderson's son. You know what I mean? It's you don't have to be great sometimes to be who you are. And when you're who he is, he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do. So Arn Anderson's son is in the picture, and that's what's going on now. But my favorite part, like I said, was AEW. So I'm going to move to my second favorite show of the week. And it's been my favorite show of the week nonstop because – frankly, who, if anybody, and right now, I don't think there's anybody, better than the Bloodline. This is the greatest story in professional wrestling. No, it's not the greatest story in professional wrestling. Me, is Daniel Bryan coming? Is he not coming? CM Punk is back. What's next? But as far as storytelling in a ring is, and I will say this to the day I die, professional wrestling is hashtag storyline. Those are hashtag facts. Some things are opinions. We say, well, that's, man, I'm telling the truth, man. Like, the Michael Jordan's better than LeBron James. To me, it's a fact, but in reality, because there's reality and perception, it's an opinion, right? But wrestling being storyline is a fact. If you haven't watched the TV show Hills, watch the show and you'll know exactly what I'm referring to. It's give you a behind the look. That is probably the best behind the curtain look of a wrestling show, movie, even more than the Page movie, because that's still WWE product than you ever probably see. It's what you're watching on Stars as Hills. If you haven't watched it, shame on you. But I love SmackDown. I love the storyline. I love the fact that were the Usos really stopping Paul Heyman from getting in on their own? Or was it at the behest of the 365-day reign of the tribal chief, one Roman Reigns? You see the tweet? Celebrate me. But we will. I am. We are the tribal chief. And this whole storyline is Paul with Brock or without Brock? Did you know Brock was there? There's everything that can be tangly woven, if you will, so to speak, Chris. I'm loving this storyline, but still the impact of Punk, the looming of the matches that took place on Dynamite. And we're going to talk about All Out after this as well. I still got to give it to Dynamite, but for the first time in this show's history, Raw or SmackDown or NXT was not the best show of the week for me. It was clearly SmackDown. Your thoughts on SmackDown?
So real quick, before I get to SmackDown, I just have to acknowledge the chat here. So King Vaughn said, while AEW smells blood, Vince smells coke. I think you kind of got that backwards, brother, because Pretty Tony looks like he doing rails of cocaine one eight ball at a time. And that's why the show sometimes comes across schizophrenic. But that's neither here nor there. But Mike, I mean, pound for pound, man, I don't even think it's controversial. SmackDown has consistently been the best wrestling show out there, period.
Okay.
All day, every day, every single week. And this week, it's no exception. I do kind of have some qualms with the show a little bit, but I'm gonna start with what I like. I love the storyline with the Bloodline. Roman Reigns is absolutely the best wrestler in the world right now by
hands
any
down.
Metric
he
whatsoever.
Is acknowledged the tribal king, the tribal chief. I'm sorry, I thought a king because my mind got flipped out because I wanted to start the show off, and I'm gonna say it right now. If you know how to do it, I'm gonna show you right now, right over left. Rest in peace to our king, Wakanda forever.
Well said, well said. Seriously.
In the background. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. Go ahead, continue.
Well said, well said, and needed to be said. But yeah, I love number one. I love the storyline between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I feel like that feud. This is this generation's Orton and Cena, or this generation's Rock and Stone Cold. Like that's how I feel about this. I don't think those guys have ever had a bad match. Did it get a little rundown? Yes. But now the dynamics are flipped. So now you have Brock Lesnar, Mr. Leif Erikson Viking himself, coming back as the conquered hero versus the dastardly heel in Roman Reigns. So the dynamics are flipped, so it makes it more interesting. And that's before we even get to the whole Paul Heyman dynamic. Yeah, we don't even know what's going on with that. Now, my fear is the only reason they brought Brock back is because they're going back to Saudi Arabia in a month.
That's the rumor mills, the hashtag, depth of dirt sheets are telling us. But there it is. We know that is to be it. It's going to be a big thing for Crown Jewel and Brock sells over in Crown Jewel because it better make sense somewhere because, frankly, we all want to see Brock versus Black Brock, and that's Bobby Lashley, the same goddamn character. One got a bigger freaking push than the other one got. Why? I don't know. I know what Black Wrestling Nation says, but you know, regular Wrestling Nation says it's just cause. No, it's cause he's a brother, okay? And it's the same damn push. And I gotta shout out Brandi Rhodes for her tweet.
Shout out.
What do you think about that tweet? What did you think about the tweet? I wanted to put it up. I realize I don't have it here, but go ahead and speak on it. Maybe I read it completely wrong, but it was saying. These Black guys are champions. You know, you guys aren't cheering for them.
Well, I can't say
that's
that.
That's why it read to me.
Well, this is why I say that what she said was tone deaf, number one. Well, number one, you know, I'm proud to be the first Black in the Rose. Okay, shut up. I'm proud to be the first Black in the Rose. But I feel like it's tone deaf because, number one, you saw how ham we went on the whole Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair thing during SummerSlam.
Nikki Bella didn't like that.
Yeah. And you see how hard we go with Bobby Lashley and MVP and how pissed off we were when they broke up the Hurt Business. So that's why I felt like the tweet was tone deaf. Number two, go to your own backyard. You know what I mean? Before you want to talk shit about anybody else, why don't you look in your backyard? What there y'all doing with Powerhouse Hobbs? What y'all doing with Scorpio Sky?
Scorpio Sky and me, I thought was going to be their guy, right? He won that stupid donut thing. And then, boom, nothing from him. So, I say, you taking her tweet as a shot at WWE, and I can see that now, but I took it, now that you say that, absolutely right. It's a shot at them. I got it right here. I'm not going to bring it out. I can't get it off, but her tweet pretty much reads, this might start some shit, but let's talk. I see a lot of complaining over here that aren't enough Black talent featured in wrestling. Yet, when Black talent is out there busting in the main event and holding championships, where's the love? Am I just missing it? So
yeah, you're missing it. It's completely tone deaf. Because what Black people are y'all pushing? You got Jade Cargill, who you know has the opportunity to be one of the biggest stars in this industry. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Jade.
She's too green. That's just me.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair too. But that kind of proves my point. Like, okay, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, Brandi. We already been looking at you sideways some of the weird shit you say anyway. And now, who do you have? You have absolutely positively no melanin. No melanin whatsoever, even sniffing the main events. So what are you talking about here? What are you talking about? And you can say, okay, maybe this one's not ready, maybe that one's not ready, but that's the same shit that they've been saying for 50 years why we couldn't have Black champions. Yeah. Because they would nitpick and they would pick apart, okay, well, this one can't do this.
Well, you know, I still picked apart their title he won, although I didn't want to take it away from the moment in which it was. It's the same thing I said about Bobby Lashley still holding his title. I've said this going on back to before that title when Kofi won that belt. The WWE title that a Black person had never worn, right? Some Black contingents will say there's never been one. Others will say we do count The Rock being half. I am one of those who say I do count The Rock. But there's a lot of them who say they don't. And it's not because of The Rock. It's not because of his nationality. It's because if they don't push him as a Black champion, they don't show any Blackness of The Rock. Matter of fact, when it comes to Black and The Rock, other than mentioning his father, it's all erased. He's completely Samoan. And that's not right as well. So when Kofi won, it was a oh my God moment. Go back to I've got a shirt on right now. Okay, my hero, Chad Gaspar. May he rest in peace in his moment with MVP in the bar. And even while they actually let him win it. So take nothing from that, but it's not the number one title anymore. Right? So, and it wasn't the number one title at that point in the company because the number one title is who they call their fans. That is the WWE Universal Championship. That's the number one belt. So at this point, yet again, no Black person has ever held the main title in that company outside of the Wayne Rock Johnson. And I'm just putting that in perspective. Not taking nothing from that moment. It was for the culture. Still what it meant could never be replaced. Like that fan that cried seeing CM Punk. It was the second time my kids ever seen me cry. okay? Because I did, in all actuality, hardcore enough to say it, because you still can't kick my ass, I shed a tear that night, and I'm proud of it.
Likewise, man. You ain't alone, man. Likewise.
But you take that bloodline from SmackDown. You take the match, the girls coming out. I'm always going to love Mella. I don't care nobody say. I'm a Carmella fan. No, she doesn't belong in the main event. But if 80% of them girls had Carmella's, what they say, savoir-faire, they'll be over. And it's coming. If Carmella could wrestle like Charlotte Flair, shit, there it is. The greatest women's wrestler! Of all the times! Charlotte Flair. If she could even wrestle semi like Charlotte, she would be the best wrestler of all time. Because she has more charisma than pretty, 90% of the girls, 80% of the girls in the company. But
I missed that, by the way. we do that, my lady and I, we do that around the house. That's how much we love that. That's
when I do it, my children in the background every time, you know, waiting and anticipating for Oh So Long, like a Kool J song for me to drop the rest of that part in there. DC, thanks for checking in as well, man. I wonder lately what's going on with Scorpio Sky. That may have been awesome talent. He needs to be pushed. Absolutely. And he's one of the guys that was like, yo, when you coming over to AEW, when you going to, you know, turn the page and become an AEW guy. And it's like, it just took, and I ain't going to lie, it took Punk for me. Like, I was turning the page on it, you know, but I'm a big guy. You know what I mean? And let me put that in perspective. Like, okay, here's your company, but your biggest star was who? Chris Jericho? I love Chris Jericho. Some would say he's on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. Okay, I wouldn't put him there, but a lot of people have it. But I still put him on a very high pedestal. But he was your biggest star, right? So he can't be your biggest star. They needed other guys. Moxley gave him a slight push, but let's be real. Although as a hashtag Dean Ambrose guy, Dean Ambrose isn't quite pushing the needle. Also, Punk, Bryan, Bray, those guys push your needle. And those guys can help anybody else get over. But you know the best part about SmackDown for me was? It wasn't that people were bitching about, man, this used to be the logo. Oh, God, look at that. What is that? Just block on top of blocks? And then, oh, let's get fancy. Let's put a skull on it. Was that really a hot logo? But you want to bitch about this? Like, really, let's not go back to FCW. That before it was NXT, its logo sort of looked like this. Let's not mention the fact they're on a network that gives them the NFL, the highest rating sports programming in all of North America. The NFL, the number one show. Let's not crap on everything just because you don't like something. Is it appealing to me? No, not necessarily, but it's not as bland to me as these things. There's a reason why children have not really gravitated towards NXT, because there's no color involved. See what you want to say about Rampage and AEW Dynamite's logos? They're a little lively. They're brightened a little bit. Logos need to be brightened. I'm going to speak on that logo for a second, or you speak on logo for a second. I just spoke on it for the last 2 minutes. Your thoughts on the new logo?
This is going to get me in trouble, man, but it's just funny to me, so I got to say it. Like, it looks like NXT LBTQ to me, like all the colors and stuff like that, man. Somebody, I'm going to piss somebody off with that one, man, but it's just jokes. It's just jokes. I'm interested to see where they go with this, because how I understand it is that they recorded, I believe it was 3 weeks worth of television last week. And then coming off that fourth week, that's where we're going to get this whole rebrand thing. So I'm interested to see where they go with that. I kind of feel like NXT got caught serving two masters, because it is supposed to be the feeder system, the minor league to your major leagues. Uh-huh. But at the same point in time, if somebody's going to give you $40, $50 million to put a TV show on and go against your competition, what are you supposed to do? Number one, nobody's going to turn down that money, number one.
Honestly, seeing this logo is why I don't think necessarily Adam Cole's leaving. I know everybody got Adam Cole slated for AEW. I know that they do. I'm not going to lie. It looks like that's where signs are pointing. But I was on Busted Open Radio, and then I spoke to Mr. Dave LeGrecker since then. And I kind of made an appointment. They gave me like 60 seconds. That's like 30 seconds to talk, so I couldn't really get – I waited all that time to talk and couldn't really get it out. So right. I kind of murmured something that wasn't exactly fully what I was trying to say. And King Vaughn says the logo looks like In Living Color. And was that a bad thing in the 90s? I'm just saying. In Living Color shocked the world, right? Touché. So, you know, and I made a comment. WWE's not dead, but it's, to me, it's on life support, right? And last time I was on life support, let's just say this for argument's sake, it birthed what we got to be the best. Some would say the best era professional wrestling, which is the Attitude Era for me. After that, to era, the Roof of the Gretchen era to me was the best era in professional wrestling, because it had everybody from everywhere there. So for me, that was it. But let's not sleep on him yet. And if you keep an Adam Cole, although I don't think Adam Cole's a star, and it's not that I don't think Adam Cole's a star, Adam Cole to me can't be a star inside of WWE because he is too small. Though when you look at a Karrion Kross, we look at a Roman Reigns. I'm a Finn Balor guy. I'm a Prince Devitt guy. He can't quite get over there, right? It's just the land of the bigs, and that's where Vince is going. So that's Vince plans on, which I don't think happening anytime soon, going back. He's making too much money hand over fist, and the rumors are just swirling too much in the place that Disney's going to buy this thing. If you look at that logo again, it looks like a Disney logo. Okay? That's something Disney would do, right? But that's something Fox would do. It just catches your imagination. So I don't think these guys are necessarily with that new logo, with them going to Fox, getting rid of Karrion Kross and those guys. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm going to wait to see what happened before I speak them all leaving so fast. But that was my second favorite show of the week.
No, but real quick, man. So I'm glad you brought that up, that the New York territory, i.e. WWE, has historically always been known as the land of the bigs. And if you don't think that AEW is at least on their radar, especially after last Friday night, then you need to put the pipe down. So I think that this reconfiguration of NXT, I think that WWE is looking and saying, okay, well, what do we do better than AEW?
Production.
Where the well, production as well, but Land of the Giants, and you see everybody that they're pushing right now. You know, be it Killian Cross or Roman Reigns, we got Almost on the main roster. We got Yap Cotto on the main roster with Apollo
Crews. Put some sock in that shoe,
or Bobby Lashley. Like I think they're getting back to their roots as the big man territory because it's like, okay, that's going to be the Indies darlings thing. But yeah, bigger is better, and we do bigger better than anybody. And you can take that however you want to take it.
They do. Shout out to Dice Man. Can't make it today, but he's listening in. Him and the baby boy getting to hear Uncle Mike's voice. I think the NXT logos are going to say, well, we're all inclusive.
Congrats to Dice, by the way, man. Seriously. Salud. Yeah.
Oh, I still got something in my cup.
Yeah. Salud.
David Mitchell chimes in. We're making up a small percentage of fandom as wrestling fans. I feel like blacks are always supported the wrestling business for years. I agree, Chris, what AEW doing to push people of color. And I disagree with that one part, Derek, because I'm at a lot of events, not saying that you don't, right? But blacks are a heavy component to wrestling fans out there. It just is. They're everywhere. They're represented. I go back, and I got to say this, because 12 years ago, I was made fun of in a meme, right? I said, if you ever see me walking around a wrestling convention like this, you have permission to shoot me and end my life right now. Well, now that shit has become a movement. And some of the biggest belt collectors, belt emperors, belt kings out there, I'm an OG, but I'm a king. These brothers are emperors, are brothers. I know a dozen brothers that got 60, 75, 80 titles and go to every event and travel. Blacks are a very big component to wrestling fans. Now, we're not if we're going to do percentages, absolutely, we're not the demographic. You know what I mean? We know that Caucasians are going to run that, but next to that dollar that's not coming from Texas, San Antonio, those heavy Mexican-driven areas, the second demographic in a wrestling audience is African-Americans. So I get you with that. And Jason Michael Campbell, what's going on, guys? Sorry you're late. Hey, as long as you joined the program, maybe you're here. And it's glad to have you here. But I'm curious, what's your favorite show of the week if it wasn't, you know, AEW, Dynamite, or SmackDown?
No, SmackDown was definitely my favorite show of the week.
Oh, you thought SmackDown would be Dynamite. Okay.
Most definitely.
I thought in-ring and story, I thought Dynamite took it away.
Fair enough.
They took it away. And again, I thought outside of – it's hard to wear glasses. I don't know how y'all do this. Glasses and headphones. I'm sorry. This is the most annoying shit in the world. My ears are thinking of – and I wear earrings. You know what I'm saying? My ears are taking a pounding right now.
You got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. But
Real quick, man, not only are black fans a big component of wrestling, black culture. I mean, go back to the 80s, Hulk Hogan out here rocking Jesus pieces and do-rags and shit like that. We just didn't know Brother was the radio edit at the time. Plus, the Melon Farmer was darker than me. We didn't know that at the time, but I mean, and then fast forward a little bit to the NWO, For Life and Too Sweet and all that shit like that. Like, that's all black culture. Like, Sean Waltman. Shout out to Sean Waltman. He literally tells you, hey, we appropriated black culture to get ourselves over. Like, that's always been a thing. And my biggest gripe with AEW is when you first came out, you presented yourself as the woke brand, and I use that term woke in quotation marks because what does that even mean right now? But your main event scene is whiter than the January 6th insurrection. So is it Uchi Wally Wally or is it One Mike? Like, what are you doing here?
Well, I prefer One Mike. This is me.
Of course.
And Kanye album came out today, which I had been anticipating, and now all of a sudden I don't care to listen. Am I the only one? The shit got 28 fucking songs, Kanye! The fuck I'm doing 28 goddamn rap songs, Kanye! And the album cover is just a black thing. It's a spot. I wouldn't even show up. I was playing the music. Seriously, Kanye, what the fuck? The question is, I've seen him like 20 posts over the weekend. Is he a genius or is he not a genius? He's a fucking retarded genius. And excuse me for saying retarded. Stop that, okay? But he's a few short truths loose. It's Kanye. And he ain't been the same since his mama died. If y'all don't see that boy need some help, I don't know what to tell you. All right? Cross got the toy outfit. Listen, y'all gonna leave my man Crane Cross's outfit alone because everybody made fun of my man's outfit. All right? And I'm gonna say this much. Damn, he got the fucking ascension treatment, didn't he? And all he did, I didn't like the fact that the ascension got shit on. That's just me. I got that they tried to copy LOD. Okay? However, I knew better, right? Even in this one, I know, but I see the meaning is that him or Shrek, right? Because I had the Shrek, had the mask on with Shrek. He's always been presented as a gladiator, a 300 kind of guy. So to put that on, all right, but I get it. Dice checks, but again, let's not forget VKM had the Durax. Yeah,
that's his suit.
He sure did. What my man Corey say?
It's not that good to me.
Okay, yeah.
Bro.
Well, listen,
probably talking about this.
His last album was ass too, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I like the Usos brothers and he recruit. You know what I mean? I knew was happening. You know what I mean? I will never ever be a dirt sheet. I don't even share with my closest friends. I talk to Dice every fucking day. I never tell Dice what's going on. He's watching. He can tell you. He can ask himself. I never tell him I heard this news or this news is going on. Because I'm privileged. You know what I mean? I say that and I mean that in my heart. Like, I'm privileged to information. Right? And I believe I get certain information because I don't spread it. And I believe, honestly, if I was to spread it, maybe I wouldn't get this information that I'd be getting. So I don't share it to anybody. You know what I mean? So I like wrestling to be suspenseful. You know what I mean? What Eminem say? Write it down. Make it suspenseful. If you know everything's going to happen, how can it fucking be great? Unless you saw 8 Mile like 100 times like I have, and every single time you catch that verse, it's really fucking hot. But that's just me. But moving on, I have to pay respects to what actually happened this weekend. And we got to pay respects to NWA, Empower, the all-women pay-per-view that took place. I applause to these ladies right there for what they did. I honestly did not get a chance to catch the show out. I totally forgot. I work now. My new schedule is a little off and different. But I did go back and watch like some of the clips of it. So I don't want to speak on it too much from a fan point standpoint of it was it good or bad or not. But I believe it was good for wrestling. I will say that much. And there you say I don't tell Dice nothing. That happens. But also what took place this week was NWA 73. And that touched my heart. I was watching a lot of it today in the doctor's office between shows. But to see this card of guys that I really don't know. You know what I mean? I used to watch NWA really intensely before the pandemic. Since the pandemic, I haven't really gotten back into it. But anywhere my man JTG, friend of the program, you know, chimes in and tells me he's going to be somewhere, I tend to look and go watch. It was a 12-man battle royal in which he was a part of. Also, Trevor Murdoch again defeats Nick Aldis. I'm a fan. I know Dice didn't like Trevor Murdoch one again. I like Trevor Murdoch. I've always dug that gimmick. If I don't know. I've always dug the cowboy gimmick. I think it's always going to be room in wrestling for that. Your thoughts, have you seen any of the two programs, Chris?
So I didn't see a lot of it. Number one, going back to Saturday night's program, we have to pay respects and homage to Awesome Kong, who announced her retirement on the Saturday.
I thought we already knew she was gone, though. So personally,
I mean, yeah, but
the wrestling
she's
fans,
still,
and not just you, but they're putting out that she's officially retired. You know, her ass is gone a long time ago, but go ahead.
That's fair. I just feel like she deserves her flowers. That's all. So I just wanted to pay respects and homage. So I didn't see the show on Sunday either. I was shocked that Nick Aldis lost the belt, even though I dig the Trevor Murdoch gimmick too, like on the Barry Windham, Dirty Dick Slater.
Yeah, I like that Dirty Dick, Barry Windham. We keep Windham going. Shit. Like, yeah, I fucks with that, yo.
That's Southern wrestling.
That's why I'm a big fan of Hangman Page. I see Magnum TA in this guy and them cowboy things. You know what I mean? I love that kind of, I don't know. I'm a child of the 80s.
I'm here for that. And I loved Ric Flair's promo as well. I got to hear that. And
absolutely. It's just only thing was missing was Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
The only thing was missing. I would love to have seen Cody or Dustin show up, to be honest, to pay that respect to Arn Anderson. Some of those older guys other than Flair show up is what I felt it could have done for that. That would have been a lot to Jim Crockett and Jim Crockett Promotions. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I do want to give Nick Aldis his props. Like when he was Magnus and Impact, TNA, whatever you want to call it, I didn't get it at all. But when he got up with Billy Corgan and they rebooted the NWA, he comes out, he's suited and booted every time. Mm-hmm. He speaks well. He's very, you know, intelligent sounding and articulate. I feel like he gave prestige to that belt, especially growing up as a kid. Like I was WCW, NWA before WWF, you know what I mean? Like that was my preference before it all just went to holy hell. So seeing him and the way that he carried himself and the way that he carried that title, I just had to give him his props. I'm shocked that he lost. I guess it's about time. I mean, it seems like the Mother Farmer been the champion for like, you know, 57 years, whatever. But I just want to give him his props, man, because he carried that belt with honor and prestige. Absolutely. And shout out to him to getting his, you know, his wife on so that she could promote a show to big up a lot of the women in professional wrestling as well. And you know what? I was here. I'm like you. I was here for NWA prior to the pandemic. Like that was my favorite show to watch.
It really was.
I fell off. Yeah,
it was only an hour long. Yeah.
Yes. And it was old school. It was WCW Saturday night.
It was all over again.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man Christopher Epps checking in. I'm with you, bro. Because honestly, I actually thought they were going to finish that last season. And when I found out they wasn't finishing, it was like, yo, can somebody pick up the one fucking season? Like, it's Netflix. Like, Netflix, you could have finished the fucking season. Don't let the pandemic stop that. Fans want it. All right? I know there's a petition that's out there somewhere. I ain't got one. I don't know where it is. But somebody, y'all do that dumb shit. Go find that petition and find out the fuck's going on with GLOW. Yeah, I never cared for the British invasion on TNA Impact at all. The British Impact, listen, I'm not the biggest TNA Impact guy. I was here in line to you. That's Mr. Lopez. We used to go about it all. We used to fight every week early on in the beginning of my shows. He was like, man, you know, I'm like, I'm watching Impact, but it's, you know, it's just not doing it for me. But I go back and I watch it now. And again, if you watch Hills, they use a lot of clips from the TNA Impact days of the promotion that they're, you know, that's the big promotion. So, but he says that was a great weekend. Want to go see some more? Go see more. But then let's just real fast get this out the way. It was last week's Raw. It was there. I just think Raw is so fucking lame. And I try. And a couple weeks ago, it wasn't so bad. But a couple weeks ago, it was really, you know, last week was just really bad. I just wasn't a fan of last week's show at all from it. I don't like who's going to kick off Raw tonight. And Damian Priest, I think he's fucking ass. I think he looks like ass. I think his character's ass. I'm not necessarily knocking him as an ability. I'm a character-driven wrestling fan. And I think the character is really lame and really shitty. I really do. I'm not here for Damian Priest. I saw him live at the the Elite versus Ring of Honor show that WrestleMania weekend where I didn't go to fucking TakeOver in New Orleans like a dummy because obviously everybody said, hey, let's go here. This is the new up-and-coming thing. What a waste of fucking money. Okay? But United States champion Damian Priest beat Bobby Lashley by disqualification last week, which was corny, right? Then they turned into a tag team match where, you know, Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, like, how many times are you put this guy back in the title picture? You know, beats Bobby Lashley and Lashley. I mean, I said Bobby Lashley. Like, Sheamus and Bobby Lashley. Then Karrion Kross defeats Ricochet. Xavier Woods beats The Miz. And that was the best part of the show, honestly, is that Johnny Drip and The Miz broke up. That was the best part of the show, and the fact that Beauty and the Beast, Nia Jackson, Shayna Baszler are back together. Your thoughts on Raw from a week ago?
So, number one, I'm here for Damian Priest, and the reason I'm here for him is that he looks and sounds like a grown-ass man. And that's something that's terribly missing in wrestling nowadays.
Logo, he should put all those colors on him.
I think he does have all those colors in his hair because he's got the colored braids and whatnot. But no, I'm here for that. But no, I other than that, man, I agree with your assessment of Raw. Like, this is the problem with Raw, man. Even if it's okay, like, it's just okay. I don't know what's going on. It's hard for me to believe that it's just because it's 3 hours, because it's not like, oh, these 2 hours were fire and then we got to that last hour and it was ass. Like, that's just not how it works.
Yeah, but that's weird. Like, the first hour, you're like, okay, this is pretty good. Where are we going to go? Second hour, you're going, third hour, you're like, oh, I'm playing Madden. that's how it's been going.
Or I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to bed.
I almost went to bed. Shit. I think I went to bed last week on Raw, as a matter of fact. I actually think I told the boys, y'all, I'm going to bed tonight, yo. And I, matter of fact, I know I did. I went and bounced to go to bed last week. Chris Rest signs in Yo Knox. And he spelled the right way. That's how y'all spelled it with three X's. is it just me or does SmackDown get all the good stuff? A, they do. They're treating Raw like the bastard child. Well, they got Bobby Lashley as their champion, and he's black, and it's the secondary belt. So, yeah, it's the bastard child show. I was disappointed that Brock returned on SmackDown when Lashley is on Raw. We said that earlier in the program as well. Brock should definitely be going to Raw. But NFL season starting. How do you get people talking about your program? You put it on the show like SmackDown's the eighth show. For years, we knew it was Raw for years. And we even tried to argue because wherever Michael Cole was, once Michael Cole switched, that was your switch because he's their A guy. He's who some called the greatest commentary of all time. And those who don't know, Jim Ross is... there's a good contingent that thinks that Michael Cole is the greatest announcer of all time. And I disagree 100%, but I will say this for the caveat sake and playing devil's advocate. He has called some of the greatest matches and biggest matches in that company's history. He's been so long. If you date back to that far, you can see it.
If he's not under the thumb of Vince McMahon, because number one, that's not a very easy job. But if he's not under the thumb of Vince McMahon,
what makes you keep your job. He's under the thumb of Vince McMahon.
No, that's fair. But when he went over to NXT and he did that NXT UK overseas, him and Nigel McGuinness, he called his ass off. So he's got the chops in him. It's just that's not an easy job. You got a lot of masters to serve, and you got a senile old man yelling in your ear for 2 hours every week telling you what to do and what to say. So it's not an easy job, but greatest of all time? Oh, no. We're not going there.
But people say it. So I had to, you know, put that out there. But overall, the weekend wrestling as a whole, it was fucking pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give the weekend wrestling a 5 out of 5 Bret Hart Intercontinental Heavyweight titles. Just so fucking good. It was the best it was. It was the best it's been, right? I mean, saying that part makes it go through a 4.5 because we still had Raw. But minus Raw, the weekend wrestling week was less. And I didn't even talk about NXT and the possible return of this lady right here, Miss Tessa Blanchard, as she tweets this out today, take a zoom in on the money. It is, can she be coming in? And she's a Blanchard. I had her all pegged to go to AEW because her father's there. Friend of the program as well.
Mike, I'm not going to lie, man. I just knew she was going to show up at that NWA show this weekend. I just knew it.
Yeah.
I just knew it. And obviously it didn't happen, but yeah.
So your weekend wrestling grade, what would you have to give wrestling a weekend wrestling grade? You have to.
You know what? I'm going to go 4 out of 5 Stone Cold Steve Austin Smoking Skull WWF / E World Championships, because I have been reinvigorated in my love
for wrestling. When you were in Chicago, it was so unfair. You're like, you got to feel the goosebumps. I had goosebumps watching it on TV. Did you get the Spidey sense when he came out, when you knew he was coming out, when he started off the fucking show?
Yes. They played that perfectly too, man, because I'm thinking they're going to bring him out at the end. Tune into Dynamite on Wednesday to see what happens. But in hindsight's always the best vision. But yeah, they had to do it like that, because if not, we probably would have hijacked the show with CM Punk chants until he came out. You know what I mean? So they played that absolutely perfectly. But that's where I'm at in wrestling. I'm reinvigorated. I'm exciting.
Who
I'm excited rather.
Brother? I'm sorry. I do a show called MTV. The Lies, Spies, and Allies reviews of myself and Captain Shakespeare right here on the Unpopular Review. It is a lot of people from Big Brother on that show. But I'm just teasing right there. And football takes it backstage to no one in this country.
Well, Jason, once you stand back up off the toilet after pissing and, you know, you wipe your
oh, he's out a great of your member.
It's all jokes. It's all jokes, man. I'm just talking shit. It's literally all jokes. But go check out SmackDown, man. Like, SmackDown is far and away the best wrestling show in the land right now. Dynamite's been a lot better. Like, there's a lot of cool shit going on in wrestling, man. I think sometimes as fans, we spend too much time focusing on what we don't like as opposed to focusing on what we do like. Because remember, at the end of the day, we're fans of this shit. So why not just find some stuff you like and focus on that and be all in on that? What's wrong with that?
I'm always going to say, Derek, Gordon Sully. For me, hands down, is Gordon Sully. I think Joey Styles doesn't get no credit for being a one-man machine. But for me, my favorite, I didn't say the best, my favorite was Gorilla Monsoon and Lord Alfred Hayes. I just thought those two dynamics, or even Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. I just thought that.
What about Jess? Gorilla and Jesse. What's about
Gorilla and Jesse was still great. And Gorilla and insert any of one of those three, to me, couldn't lose. Gorilla was really good. Like, he has a foreign object. I just love that kind of shit. I wish they still said that shit. I wish wrestling still had President Jack Tunney in it. But we got a little bit of time left for the show, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about the biggest show of the weekend, and that's coming up, and that is All Out. The pay-per-view is coming. And let's just go ahead and ask it right here. I said September 22nd he was going to show up. I also said for years that Daniel Bella will never leave the WWE. And damn it, I've already said it. I was wrong. Daniel Bella will show up, but now, because COVID is fucking back, because that sick bitch like that fucking nugget that won't flush down the goddamn toilet, Daniel Bryan is slated to be there this Sunday at All Out in Chicago. Chris, are you going? Because I want to go.
I do want to go, man. I'm not going to be able to swing it, man. I still got to get some updates on the condo, so I'm not going to be able to swing it.
You play my plane tickets, I'll buy the other tickets. I got them. But let's talk about them right here, man. Let's start from the bottom to the top, top to the bottom, way we go. And it's finally the final fight. If Chris Jericho, he will lose, he will never wrestle again against MJF. This Sunday, who do you got, Chris?
I thought we were done with this because Jericho tapped out. Like, where do you go from here? So MJF needs to win, but I'm scared that Jericho is going to win. And no disrespect to Jericho. I love Jericho. You know, shout out to the, you know, Y2J.
Whatever. The bubbly!
Yeah. Oh, the bubbly was delicious, too. Did you try any of that?
No, I still haven't done it. I'm sorry.
Look, bit of an aftertaste, but not bad, seriously. I'm scared
it's
that
Jericho... inexpensive wine. Or champagne, it's not supposed to be too good. It's probably a brute. It's not a Spumante. I'm quite sure it's not a Spumante at that price.
Well, it's all wine, not Mike. The only reason
it's not champagne.
The only reason they call champagne is because they grow it in the Champagne region of France. Everything else is just sparkling wine.
Look at that. I took wine class. I didn't take champagne class.
Yeah. By the way, cognac is a wine. And it's grown in the cognac regions of France.
That I know, but I ain't drinking cognac today. I'm drinking that Jameson, that Irish whiskey, baby. Put some hair on your balls if you ain't got none.
Hair on your balls, ass, and back. But yeah, I think Jericho wins this one.
I think MJF wins this match.
I hope you're right.
I think Jericho is done with professional wrestling as far as the in-ring standpoint is concerned. I think getting the news today that Jim Ross will step down from being active so much and taking a new role in the company says he's going to straight to commentary. So I'm going with Chris Jericho to win this match. Also on the card, who I've said put the rocket ship to his back, and that is Miro. To me, next to Hangman Page, he is the best thing this company has. He's a physical specimen. He whoops everybody's ass. You can hate this guy. And I just hate Eddie Kingston so much. I'm sorry. I know you say, I'm sorry. He belongs in the Urban Wrestling Federation. No offense to Urban Wrestling Federation. He just doesn't belong in AEW with that gimmick. I fucking hate this guy as a character. Not the person. And if I'm wrong, he's probably a nice guy. You know, whatever. This is my show. I ain't gonna be fucking nice. I fucking hate his character. Miro better win this fucking match. And plus, the match came out of nowhere, so I know Miro wins this match. Who you got, Chris?
you can't not have Miro win this. They finally figured out how to book Miro properly and not have him out here beefing over video games. So, yeah, Miro's going to steamroll this Melon Farmer. And that's the only way you could do it.
And you're right. They all can thank Vince McMahon for that. And here you go, Jason Michael Campbell, again, picking on crying Danielson. His name is Daniel Bella, okay? And he was never supposed to leave WWE, but he did because he probably whipped her good. You know, if you watch Total Divas, he don't have a lot of power in that relationship. But he must have did something right because he's going to AEW. All right, so there it is. Leave me alone.
He just seated her up twice, so he doing something
now,
right.
Hold on now. Why are you giving up? You didn't get to CM Punk yet. Jericho wins. CM Punk is in AEW now. There's a feud that will be settled again. Best in the world, too. Ah, okay. I like that. You remember Jericho in that one. Okay. And you got, and I got Miro. You got Miro as well.
Yes.
It better be Miro. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the world title match. Captain Charisma versus Captain I Have No Fucking Charisma, the champion, Kenny Omega, for the AEW title. Captain No Fucking Charisma. Captain I Can't Fucking Talk on a Mic. Captain I'm So Good in the Goddamn Ring. Everybody keeps putting me up here because I'm so good in the goddamn ring. To me, and I'm going to say this, because I can say this, because I was wrong. So I hope I'm wrong about Kenny Omega. Tweet that. I hope I'm wrong about Kenny Omega. I used to think that AJ Styles wasn't nothing but an in-ring talent. I thought all AJ had in Impact was, God, he's the best wrestler I've ever seen. Well, one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen inside the square circle. Then he got to beat John Cena, and I started seeing his personality on a different stage, and I thought, man, why did I miss from this guy? So if I'm missing from Kenny Omega, so be it. But as of right now, Captain Charisma Christian Cage will lose this match because he's not going to win a title, AEW title. That's slated to be Hangman Page. Kenny Omega wins. Your thoughts on this one, Platt?
I don't see it at all with the whole Kenny Omega thing. And I even see people on social media talking about no wrestler has Kenny Omega's drip. The only drip he could possibly have is from visiting one too many of those Japanese bathhouses. He's a good in-ring performer.
What's wrong with a Japanese bathhouse? That's like seeing like a rub and tug.
Ain't nothing wrong with a Japanese bathhouse, but don't leave out that Melon Farmer with some drip. That's all I'm saying. That's all bad.
Well, I'm trying to go to LA and a rub and tug. My wife's already down for it. It's a rub and tug. You can't get mad. It's not cheating. It's just a hand.
I'm just saying, how you going to explain that going back home and you dripping? There's no explanation for that. But Christian Cage isn't going to win this match at all. They're all in on Omega. I still think he needs to take a step back. But, yeah,
he's going
to
win this. He's
I think
so corny.
This is... Yeah, he is. He's just corny. Yeah.
One of my other favorite wrestlers in the company, the Bastard Pac, takes on Andrade El Idolo with Chavo Guerrero Jr. in the corner. I want Pac to win so bad, but Pac's not going to win. I think Andrade makes it his pretty much making his pay-per-view debut in his company as far as the in-ring ability is concerned. I don't see Andrade losing. Here's one of the matches, Chris, that here's what AEW does very well. Whoever loses, no one really loses, right? And WWE, if someone loses for whatever reason, it's kind of like a big deal because how they do the company. But right now, Andrade can win this match and Pac can win easily a couple weeks down the line. But again, a rivalry that came out of nowhere. For what it's worth, and we're keeping it real, that's what we do here in the barbershop. If we can talk about anybody, and anybody and everybody in the barbershop. All right, nobody's off limits in the barbershop. We talk about whoever and whatever in the barbershop. They threw this pay-per-view together because some of these matches makes no sense. They have not been built. Let's be real. Let's keep a fade of fate, as people say about WWE. This is a shitty built pay-per-view, although the card is pretty fucking awesome. I'm still taking Andrade in this match. Your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. This match is all about one guy, and that's Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk. Now, in terms of this match, I'm all in on Andrade. I absolutely positively love Andrade. I really wish AEW would have brought in Thea Trinidad, a.k.a. Zelina Vega, because I think that as an act, that's hot as fist grease. I think that this has the opportunity to be the match of the show. I love Pac. I love Andrade.
I do think this has the potential. And this and the next match we're going to talk about, I think, are the potential to be the best matches of the night.
Yeah, but you can't let Andrade lose, and he just came in. And don't be surprised if you get a cameo from father-in-law, future father-in-law, potential father-in-law, a.k.a. Woo!
I mean, he does seem to be able to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. So, I mean, he is a free fucking agent, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do. But this next match, I think, can be potential. And I know we're sour on the Bucks lately. I do think they do super kicks way too fucking much. But anytime you see Los Luchadores in a match, I'm just here for it. El Patron, Rey Fénix, the best little guy I've ever seen in this business since Rey Mysterio. The Young Bucks, they deliver when it's big pay-per-view time. This match has been built the right way. Talking about matches not built the right way because they had a tournament leading up to this. I'm here for this match, and it's in a steel cage. Your thoughts on this match, Chris?
Junk food. It's going to be junk food. It's Krispy Kreme donuts. It's sour cream and onion barbecue chips.
No one heard it here first, Chris. I'm sorry, Chris, to cut you off talking to another Chris. People are saying it everywhere, okay? And before, a year ago, I would say never. But never can say never anymore since AEW has all the things in the world. But I also think to be the best, you have to be the best. And to be the best is to be the best. And Charlotte Flair is the greatest women's champion. Wrestler. Female. Jazz hands. Of all time. She ain't going no damn well. And you heard it here first to match that up. But go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
I get
emotional when it comes.
Don't apologize. I missed that so much. You have no idea. But this match is going to be complete junk food. It's going to be totally bad for you, but you're going to love every single bite and every single morsel of it. I agree with you. You know what? I think we get a title change here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
for the AAA title though. This is for AEW. You know what? I'm going to also pick them to win the match as well. I don't think the Bucks win. And somebody said they can't afford Charlotte. Oh, so Jake, somebody was with
this. Shit, are you kidding me? He got that Saudi oil fuck money. Are you kidding me? They can afford me. I'm talking all this shit next week. Christopher Platt is all elite.
Even if she goes to AEW, this energy ain't going nowhere. She's still the best. Okay? But guess what? I'm not going to follow the trend that people follow like trendsetters. All right? Everybody will all of a sudden now, your culture event poachers, okay? And listen to here. I'm going to take my glasses off.
That's how you know he's serious, folks. It's about to get real. It's coming. It's coming. Hold on. We can't hear you. That's all right. Little technical difficulties, but it's all right. That's what I'm here for. He'll figure it out.
All right.
He'll come in.
Hey, Mr. Tyron Woodley, fuck you. Yeah. I've been several times. I didn't want to be rude to text you last night to tell you you let us all down. But what the fuck? You let Ferguson down for what it's worth. You talked all that shit and lost to Jake Paul. You didn't even want to win this fight.
It's a work, bro.
You know what? I don't care if it's a work. I'm worked up. How about that?
It's a work.
I can't even see shit, man. I need my glasses. Go ahead, man.
You get work. You're getting worked.
I got work.
Yeah.
I've been worked.
Did you pay for it? You didn't pay for it, did you?
What do you think?
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So what you tripping?
I paid for John Jones, Floyd Mayweather. That is it.
Okay, Usman can't get no love?
Huh?
I said Usman can't get no love?
No.
Nah, I'm talking shit. I don't pay for none of that shit, man. That's my form of reparations. I don't pay for none
of that. I'm going to say what I paid for Johnny Bones Jones, and I paid for Floyd Mayweather. And even then, it's sporadic. All right?
Touché.
With that being said, next match on the card, we both picked the Lucha Brothers. We got this women's buy-in match. But I'm not quite buying into this match. Any favorites in this match for you? I have zero interest in this. I'm going to say, do we see an AJ Lee ever back in wrestling again? I know Punk's back. Is it too soon for her? It's been no talks of her wrestling. Is this the night where the Iconics show up?
See, I'm thinking Ruby Riott, but you threw that AJ Lee caveat out there. That's interesting.
But
I was thinking Ruby Riott or whatever she's calling herself.
Ruby? Has it been 90 days for Ruby yet?
It feels like it, right? I mean, it feels, I don't know. This feels very Ruby Riott-ish or whatever she's calling herself now. I do like the fact that you threw out that AJ Lee caveat. Could we see the Iconics? They've been making a little bit of a stir on social media the past couple of days, so you can't rule that out either. Or maybe this is when we get money. Yeah, yeah.
First of all, Floyd Mayweather has never been married, so you can't be a wife beater if he's ever been married. Just saying. Technically.
I mean, technicalities, but that's hilarious. That was funny. That's the best line on the show, by the way.
and I also think that Nia Rose is complete trash, but I think on a completely different scale of reasons why I think she's complete trash. I have nothing against transgenders whatsoever. I have something against fans who bitched and cried about James Ellsworth helping Carmella win the Money in the Bank match and made WWE, because the backlash was so bad, they put on a different match for her to win separately. Can bitch and complain about that when it's supposed to be a big women's movement, when technically she's a man wrestling women, although she calls herself a woman. Hey, do what you want. This is not nothing like that. I'm just saying, I think it's an unfair advantage that Nia Rose is allowed to compete against these women. You can see the difference in the way she works in the ring compared to how these other girls work in the ring. And I just don't think it's fair to those ladies that have to deal with this massive, you know, transgender person whooping their ass like that. That's why I don't like her. They're saying Ruby Soho may debut.
Okay. That's, y'all knew who I was talking about. What the hell, man? Y'all knew I meant Ruby Riott, okay. Ruby Soho, Grapefruit Juice.
We put it back together.
Ruby Red Grapefruit Juice. Y'all knew who I was talking about. Come on. The Charlie Chaplin looking melon farmer that used to be in WWE with all the tattoos. Y'all knew who I'm talking about.
Johnny Moxley versus Hojuma. I don't know who the fuck Hojuma is. I'm not going to feel like I
don't either, man. John
so
Moxley.
I'm going to just go with John Moxley.
Yeah.
Britt Baker takes on this person.
That's the alien, man. That's the alien.
I know, and that's why I said this person. I don't know.
You were being politically correct. Yeah. This person, because she's an alien. I got you.
Dr. Britt Baker.
I'm all in on Dr.
And the
Britt.
Greatest women's title I've seen in years will retain at All Out. You agree?
Yeah, I'm all in on Dr. Britt. I'm all in. Yes.
And
pun intended, by the way.
I'll be all in too. In the match, 7 years in the making, there could be any match that had CM Punk in it. Is he still the best in the world? CM Punk, that shirt broke websites. That shirt is $40 with shipping without the black collar around it because they ran out of black collar shirts only being sold live. Did you pick up a shirt while you was there?
I tried, man, but bro, by the time we got out, the line was literally around the block and around.
Did you get
your
free ice cream bar?
I did get my free ice cream bar, and I gave it to a little kid outside.
Oh, you should have kept the wrapper, though.
I should have, but what I'm gonna do? I'm a fly with a sticky ass ice cream wrapper.
I'd ate that shit. Fuck that. Fuck that little kid. No offense. That punk was back, and we finally got our ice cream bars. You gonna give it away? That kid don't know what that wrapper is. But that ice cream. You waited 10 years for that damn ice cream bar. You gonna give it away? I'm going to say this. CM Punk has to win. Not that CM Punk's going to win. I think CM Punk has to win. And I think this takes something from Darby Allin. And if Darby Allin wins, it sets them. I'm not the best in the world anymore at what I do. And where do I go from here? For the company's sake, I'm going to say CM Punk. Your thoughts on this match and the winner?
Mike, the only question about this match is whether or not it closes the show. Punk's obviously going to win, but do you think that they close the show out with this match?
I do, because I think Daniel Bryan helps close the show. So, no, you know what? I think Kenny Omega goes on last. I think that AEW has done a very good job at listening to wrestling fans, right? And catering to the bitching and the moaning. And a lot of that bitching and the moaning was the title should go on last. Right? So the title goes on last because Daniel Bryan pops up after that. That's what I'm going to say with that. I don't think it's the last match, although we talked about it a lot earlier. Your thoughts?
You're probably right. I think it should be the last match. I mean, it's clearly going to be the main event, because how is anything going to be able to follow that? Especially seeing what we saw last week in Chicago at the United Center when Punk came out.
Tessa Blanchard, it's like she's going to WWE. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That's it. So, yeah, I think it should be last, but I'm kind of on the same wavelength as you. I think that the title match does go on last, and that's when we get the Bryan Danielson reveal. But obviously, Punk's
going to win. How is Punk a sellout? Punk's actually the opposite.
Oh.
Actually, it's the opposite of him being nothing but a sellout. Because, again, if anybody remember, go back, check the tapes. I said, fuck CM Punk. I love Phil Brooks. Here's the reason why. Reality and perception, right? Reality is, if you work for a company, we all got jobs. We all got real jobs. If that real job is saying fuck you, and you can take your money and go about your business and live a comfortable life without that company, then that's cool. The wrestler guy, CM Punk, I fell in love with because he told me he was approved, you know, wrestling. And to me, unlike Bret Hart, say what you want to say, he's my second, he's my 1.2. Bret did screw Bret, because what person is going to tell me that, you know, you're going to leave my job, leave my company to go to another company? I got to have you lose. That's the business. That's for any wrestler. When Stone Cold took his ball home and ran because he won those, that was a bitch move, okay, for what it's worth. So I don't see how Punk's a sellout for that. I just don't see that. No. He's him coming back. He said you were there. Y'all waited 7 years for me, 2,766 days. Wrestling business doesn't do that. The CM Punk chants were not ever going anywhere. And I think that says a lot.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because let Uncle Christopher give y'all a little bit of game out there, okay? Your sole purpose in this life, the way that everything is set up, is to put yourself in a position where you have the leverage to do whatever the fuck you want to do. That melon farmer did that. You might not like how he did it. You might not like how he left, but at the same point in time, he put himself in a position to have the leverage to do exactly what he wanted to do. He said, yo, I'm not happy here anymore. I'm in a place where I could walk away and get my sanity back, and we should all be so lucky.
And hopefully we see his wife. How about that? Well, with that being said, guys, we're going to cut today's show off and say thank you for joining us. Chris, thanks for filling in, man. I appreciate it. My brother from way back doing shows. We haven't done shows in a while. You saw the people say they were happy to have you back. So it was good to see you back. Where can they listen to that sultry melon farming voice?
Number one, Mike, it's always a pleasure to come on and chop it up with the family, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the love in the chat as well. It's also great to be back. Y'all can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat. Y'all can also find me on TheChairShot.com. Every Thursday, debuts at 8 p.m. Yeah. Pod is War. We also have got Three Man Weave. That's our sports show. We chopping it up. It's myself, the Commissioner PC Tunney, and Mr. Ray Cash chopping it up about the latest, greatest, up-to-date in sports. That debuts Wednesday nights at 8.
That's why they don't bring me on, because they know I would, you know, kill them. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you always do this shit. You always do this shit when we get on. And I'm like, you already know you got an open invitation. And then I don't hear shit from you.
I don't want to open that case. I want you to say, hey, what you doing tonight?
Okay, hey, what you doing on Wednesday? Okay, hey, what you doing on Wednesday?
I have a show on Wednesday nights.
See what I'm saying?
Listen, man, football is about to start. The Hour of Power and Sports is coming back on Thursday nights. It's just, I got a lot going. I'm going to be tired tomorrow. I said, man, I'm going to have like 4 shows a week, yo. Y'all going to get tired of my mug, but can't stop, won't stop. You know what I'm saying? I got to keep doing what I'm doing. But again, man, thank you so much for filling in for Dice Man, for coming on. I appreciate you as always. And as always, guys, listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. That's crazy. And not know that Charlotte Flair is the greatest women's wrestler of all the time.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's going to pay. But the $1 million man always gets his way.
Million dollar man. It's like the illest posse cut right here, man. Shine Watts on the track. Zeus, Don One, Rudeboy, Quill, The Gift, and yours truly, Fred Nuts. I'm 1 in a million with $1 million flow. Fred DiBiase got the power in it though. If it's a problem, let me know, or I suggest you let it go. 'Cause it ain't worth the problems that